2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. This is Paul writing to us, the people of God, and he says, "For you are the temple of the living God." Hallelujah, we are temples of God. That means God dwells in us, the living God. Hallelujah, as God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk among them." Hallelujah, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. I hear a lot of people talking about my people and my camp and my tribe and my community. Hallelujah. You know who's my people? God's people. I don't have certain communities or groups or any of that. If it's a God person, then that's my people. Come on, we ought to have the attitude that we are God's people. We are family together and we don't distinguish ourselves by these other categories, communities, groups, because usually they're set apart by something that's discriminatory, really. Something that separates out, you know, it might be age, it might be race, it might be gender, it might be liking a particular son. Hey, listen, if you're a God person, you are my people, hallelujah. Come on, we are people together. We gotta stick together, hallelujah. But God says that I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I love that. There's a distinction there. You see that? That I'll dwell in them and I'll walk among them. I'll walk with them. We ought to be able to sense that God is walking with us in life. Hallelujah. Every day, in every area, in every aspect, in every way, God is with us. He's dwelling in me. But he's also walking with me. Hallelujah. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Glory to God. I don't think there's any better group that we could be identified with or hang out with or be tagged as other than the people of God. When people see me, I want them to say, "She is a person of God." When they see this church, I want them to think, "These are people of God." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we see throughout the Old Testament, many people that walked, we know Adam and Eve walked with the Lord. It said that the Lord would visit with them and walk with them in the cool of the day. We say in Genesis chapter 6 where Noah, it says, was a just and a perfect man and he walked with God. We see in Genesis chapter 17 where Abram was a man that walked with God. But I want to back up to this man called Enoch. In the Bible. I always love the story of Enoch. There's not a whole lot written about him, but just enough to always intrigue me about Enoch, because this is what it says. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 5, that'll be in the beginning of your Bible. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and then he begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Hallelujah. Now this is always interesting because Enoch was, you know, he was living in the earth for 65 years and then just something happened. We don't know what happened, but something happened. And all of a sudden, the Bible says after 65 years, Enoch just decided to walk with God. First of all, I want you to know it's never too late to just decide today's the day I start walking with God. Today's my turnaround day. Today's the day that I do it. Today's the day that the definition comes. I'm now walking with God. But he walked with God, and then he did it for 300 years. We get bored after a month. We get bored. I've done this a whole year. I can't do it anymore. Whatever it may be. Listen, he walked with God for 300 years. Now, y'all do know I'm talking about an Old Testament guy. So I'm talking about a guy that didn't have a relationship with God like we have. He was not born again. His spirit was not recreated. He didn't have the Spirit of God that lived in him. He didn't have the Spirit of God that came upon him. So really he had very little with God. This was even before Moses. It was before the law. So he really had not much of the word of God. But he made a choice to walk with God. And he walked with God for 300 years. And when I see that in the Bible, walking with God, we know that in some way, shape, or form, he had to be believing God. He had to be trusting God. He had to be walking in humility. He had to be walking holy. He had to be walking godly. And so really, I imagine that Enoch kind of stood out like a bright light in a dark night, really, because he just chose to walk with God. He was like a hot fire in a cold place. Because he walked with God, and that's how we are to be, amen? When we're walking with God, we are the bright light in any place. We are the hot fire everywhere that we go. But I love that. It's so inspiring to me, because I think if here's a man that doesn't even have what I have with God, but yet he could walk with God, and he walked so closely with God. He got so close to God that finally God just said, he's coming up to heaven. In other words, he got so close in his day-to-day walk with God. He was so close with God that one day he just stepped right over. Out of the natural physical realm into the spiritual heavenly. He just stepped right over. Boom. Wow. This inspires me to walk with God. We are to walk with God. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 says this about Enoch. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And now we see the connection that we know where, what is it that pleases God? Faith. Hallelujah. And so Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Come on, there is a reward today for diligently seeking God. There is a reward today for walking with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says that it's impossible to please God. I look at this and I think, you know, there really, when you think about God, there are very few things that are impossible. You know what I'm saying? Because the Bible says with God, all things are possible. But really, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so Enoch was one that walked with God closely and tightly for 300 years. And that inspires me. I believe I can do it. I believe you can do it. Come on, we don't even live that length of age in the earth anymore. No matter whether you're going for 80, 90, 95, 100, whatever age it is that you're going for, 75, whatever, just make sure that you're doing it with God. Come on, we need to have faith that we can walk with God, that we can get tight with God, stay tight with God. In every season of life, no matter what's going on, we can walk with God. Hallelujah. And so then we jump over, of course, to the New Testament, and we can look at Jesus. Jesus was certainly one who walked with God, but I want you to know he walked with God as a man empowered by the Spirit. Right? Because, you know, usually when we think of Jesus, we think he's different. And he is different in some sense because he is the Son of God. But really, he came in the likeness of men. He came to show us. He came as a pattern for us to not only save us, but then to show us how to live with God, how to walk with God in the earth as a man. And so let's look at that just so we understand. Philippians chapter 2, turn with me there. Verses 5-9. So we're talking about Jesus. Now verse 5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, so we are to have the mind of Christ. We are to think like Christ thought, and particularly in this area, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, and therefore God also highly exalted him. And so we see that Jesus laid aside his deity, and this actually gives us some characteristics, really. If you want to walk with God, you can see that Jesus had to make himself of no reputation. So if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to not be interested in your reputation. You trying to make a name for yourself. You trying to make a place for yourself. You trying to be important or famous or recognized or grow your empire in whatever way, shape, or form. You're going to have to lay that down if you want to walk with God. Hallelujah. And then he took on the form of a bondservant. We're talking about Jesus became a bondservant. That word connects to like being a slave unto a master. And today when we think of that, we think of that in a negative term because yes, it was used and abused by natural men in the earth. But in the sight of God, we are to take on being a bondservant. We are owned by the Lord. We are his. We are bought with a precious price. He has given, God gave his son. Jesus shed his blood. Hallelujah. And so we are totally submitted. We are totally yielded. We are God's alone. Hallelujah. And then it says that he humbled himself. I'll talk about this a little bit later, but really that word humility there is to have a total dependency upon God. Amen. Did you know that Jesus in the earth, coming in the likeness of man, laying aside his deity, but now being empowered by the Spirit, was totally dependent upon God in the earth and his relationship with God in the earth. He became obedient. That means he didn't do his own thing. He didn't decide what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it. He became obedient to God the Father, even to the point of death. I'm sure that wasn't good news. You know, we get disappointed when we're told we can't move, or we can't change jobs, or we can't marry this person. Or maybe we don't get told that because maybe we're not asking God before we do those things. Oh no, I'm talking to the real Christians here, okay. We're upset when we're told we can't marry somebody or that we can't do something, go down a particular path that we think we desire, but yet Jesus here got the news that he was going to die. Wow. That's pretty intense obedience, isn't it? Glory to God. So we see Jesus in the earth walking with God. He made this statement in John 10, verse 30. He said, I and my Father are one. What did he mean by that? That meant that God was with him, God was upon him, God was in him, God walked with him, dwelt with him. Hallelujah. Then after Jesus, of course, with Jesus in the earth, we see that Peter and the other disciples, they physically walked with Jesus in the earth. And then, of course, Jesus died upon the cross, was resurrected, went to heaven. And so we know that they continued on walking with the Lord after Jesus departed. Then we see Paul in Acts chapter 9. Remember, he was not a Christian. He was a Pharisee, and he was persecuting the church. He was persecuting those that believed in the way, in Jesus. And then he had a Jesus encounter where a light shone and a voice he heard out of heaven on the road to Damascus. And at that moment, he became a Christian, received the Lord, and began to walk with the Lord. And so it continues on and on. The early church we see in the book of Acts, and it just continues. And ever since that time, there have been people that have been walking with God, just like today, believers today, you and I today are walking with God. Hallelujah. And so it tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, he who says he abides in him, being the Lord, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we see that we have a call from the Lord. We have a command from the Lord, really, that we are to walk like Jesus walked. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, this is again Paul speaking. He said, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the name of the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us, how you ought to walk and how you ought to please God." And so when we go throughout the scriptures, we can look at the life of Jesus. We can look at the early church, the life of Paul. He's a good one to follow. Things that are given throughout the epistles that tell us how to live. And it's all about us walking with God. And so what does it really mean to walk with God? You know, first, when you look at the word walk in the Bible, it denotes consistency. It denotes something that's constant. It denotes a day by day, a step by step. It's really referring to the pace of life. Many times in the Bible, when you see things that refer to running, it's talking about the big moments in life, the momentous things that happen in your life. But we all really know that when we get to the end of it, our life is made up of every single day, just day by day, day by day, day by day. And so this is talking about having a relationship, being in communion with, in fellowship with God every day, at all points, in all aspects, in every way, not just when we come together at church on Sundays and Wednesdays, not just when something happens and I need to whip God out of my back pocket because I need to call upon the Lord. That's not walking with the Lord. Walking with the Lord is the daily, consistent, day by day, I'm doing this with God, knowing in every waking moment and all throughout until I lay my head to sleep, I'm conscious of the fact that I'm doing this life with God alone. And you have to remember, this is one thing where people get hung up, is because many times when we think of God, because God is so like, wow, he is the so wow God. He is like so spectacular. He is like so supernatural that we think our life ought to look like that all the time. But, you know, Kenneth E. Hagin used to say that if you're always looking for the spectacular, you will miss the supernatural many times. Because God can be in the wow, the big, the bang, but he's also in the small, still voice. He's also in the small, inward leading, just the witness in our heart. And I say this all the time, really, the closer you walk with God, the less you need wow moments. I mean, we're wow because he's God. And listen, no matter how long you've done this, just still getting in the presence of the Lord, just the tangible presence of God, just the peace of God coming, or are you touching the love of God? It's just like still so precious. It never gets old. It's really, in a sense, spectacular. But it's a part of who we are. It's a part of what we have. Right? And so the closer we walk with God, when you really learn to walk with God, you're not having to live by from miracle to miracle to miracle to miracle. Because God is with us every day and we're getting answers and we're getting things lined out and we're not listening to God and falling down a trap and then having to pray to God and have a miraculous God pull us out of the pit. Come on. And so this is what we're after. We're after a real steady life with God, but yet being totally, living a totally spiritual life, totally in tune with God. And this is really what it is to have a life with God, where we are people of, we live a life of worship. Listen, I love worship music. I love the times that we gather together. I love times in my car, my home, when I have music on. Absolutely, that's a part of it, but really we live a life of worship. I don't need just music. Music is not the only time I worship the Lord. I live a life of worship in service to him. Just loving him, honoring him, blessing him, connecting with him, trying to please him, walk uprightly before him. We have a life of, when we're walking with God, we live a life of prayer. And again, we have prayer moments. I'm thankful for prayer moments where we can grab hands and connect, where we can gather in a room, several of us, and pray together. Those are holy things and powerful things, but we also have to have our own prayer life with God, where I don't just say I pray, I am a prayer. My life is a life of prayer. These are confessions I make over myself, because the Bible says we're to pray at all times. We're to pray without ceasing. And so living a life of prayer, that men ought always to pray. This is an aspect of walking with God. And so this morning, in talking about this, maybe we can have just like a little checkup on our walking with God, or how tightly are we walking with God? Hallelujah. I was thinking about this again, because in this thing of enjoying, if you're going to really enjoy life with God, you're going to have to walk tightly with Him. Hallelujah. And so one of the things about walking with God is you have to choose to walk with God. We have to choose. And really, honestly, it's a daily choice. There's the initial time we say it, but then it's a daily laying down our life. It's a very individual, this thing of walking with God is a very individual walk. Even when we come together, we do it together, but we're individuals. And so really nobody can choose for us. People can, if you're young, parents can bring you to church, but even on the inside, there comes a time you have to make your own choice. Your parents can't choose for you. Your grandma can't choose. Your spouse can't choose. Your pastor can't choose. I wish I could choose, but I can't choose. Come on. We have to choose this walk with God. And really what it is according to Mark 8, this is the way I like to look at it, and choosing to walk with God. Mark 8, verse 34 and 35. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Look at that word, follow me. Not just meet me. Not just meet me in the moment of salvation. Not just meet with me in the moment where I got something I need from God, I got something. No, no, no. We're supposed to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. And so really, a disciple of the Lord is not one who just meets Jesus, gets salvation, and then runs off to do their own thing and to live like they want, trying to whip out God in whatever moment, way, shape, or form they need Him. But a real disciple, a real believer, is one who forsakes all of their self-life. In other words, the minute I'm in, I'm all in, God, and I'm all yours. And there is nothing of me. And again, it's a daily thing. Every day it's, Lord, let me decrease that you may increase. That's my prayer every day. Every day I'm making a decision today. I lay aside all self, all desires, all ambitions. The cross really there symbolizes an instrument of death. It symbolizes a willingness to give one's life sacrificially for the master. Hallelujah. And so, listen, I just have to say it. You know, it's true. I think many of us in this room could testify of it. Is that many of us get in and meet Jesus. We have that moment of salvation. We recognize that we're a sinner. We recognize that we need God. You know, how we got there all varies. Some people just have a recognition in a moment of the dirt of their life, of who they are. Some people get in a really bad situation and figure they need something and must run to God. Whatever gets us there, but we're there, and then we meet Jesus. And then it's wonderful, we're born again. But then after that, really, how closely are we going to walk with Jesus is our own decision. And some people don't really go much further. I mean, they meet Jesus, they have salvation, their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but then that's it. They don't ever get connected to a church family, which you will not be spiritually healthy without a church family. They never get connected to the Word of God. You will not be spiritually healthy without the Word of God. They never learn about the Holy Spirit, receive the baptism of the Spirit, learn to live. People are never totally spiritually healthy. And I know this was certainly the case for me when I got born again, as a Baptist girl, and I really did have a salvation experience, and I loved the Lord, but I didn't go far enough. And I realized, you know, as I grew up, at some point that my life, even though I knew I was a Christian and I knew I loved Jesus and I knew if something had happened and I had died, I do know I would have gone to heaven, but I would have gotten there with like nothing. Because I hadn't really made a decision to walk tightly with the Lord. And so that moment came for me, you know, due to a circumstance I had, and I just figured all of a sudden I really needed something more of God. But it's really not until that moment that we make that connection to get really fully in and begin submitting our lives. I remember the story of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. If you remember their story, that they got saved and they were like heathens. You know, I mean, they were really like, they weren't playing church people. They were like really outside the kingdom and got saved. And so they had this glorious experience. But then after 5 years, they found out that their life really didn't look that, it didn't really look that different, even though they knew they were saved. And for them, it was that they had not submitted to the Word of God. And so when they found out about the Word of God and the integrity of God's Word and that they're to live by faith in the Word of God, they made a decision in that moment that connected them with really walking tightly with the Lord, and their life began to radically change. Hallelujah. And so we all have to make that decision. And we ought to, everybody here in this room this morning, as we're listening to this, you know, we need to be analyzing, are we fully in? Have we made the decision? I'm going to go through some things. I don't know if I'll get to them today or not. Who knows? But I'm going to go through 8 different things where we can see in the Bible where it talks about people that walk with God do this. They walk in these ways. Hallelujah. And we need to examine ourselves and realize maybe where if we've not yet jumped into one of these or we've not yet fully submitted to one of these. Hallelujah. Because these are days we are the people of God and we need to be fully in. Listen, when it comes to God, God is fully in for you. He is fully all in for you. He has held nothing back. He has given everything for us. And so we can't hold back a part of our life. We can't hold back a part of our time. We can't hold back a part of our resources. We can't hold back a part of our desires. We can't hold back a part of our, you know, our talents. We've got to be fully in for the Lord and totally surrendered in every season of life. And that's how we're going to get to enjoy life and have this really tight, wonderful life with God. I believe that we can have that. Amen. I believe that we can really have that. If the Bible says it, I believe we can have it. And so we've got to really, really decide to get all in and go after it. Hallelujah. And so, you know, when we're looking at Enoch here, talking about him living day by day and walking with God, that really he just walked right on into heaven. I mean, you don't have to do that if you're not ready to go to heaven. But I totally believe there's actually an Old Testament scripture that says that we can have days of heaven on earth. Amen. Well, wait a minute. The Bible is the inspired word of God. Every word is written by God. So when God says something, he's presenting something to us, and we have to hear that, believe that, receive that. And so we're not just waiting for the days of heaven one day in heaven. There is a way to have heaven in the midst of us and really in everyday life, not just in the corporate assembly, not just in special moments, but really in everyday life. There's a culture of heaven. There's an atmosphere of heaven. How it is in heaven. Wow. And so we've got to go after that. But I want you to know that Enoch basically just went up into heaven. And really in these last days, it should be similar for us. We should be walking that tightly. Enoch is a type of rapture of the church. And the rapture means it's a carrying away or a transporting of a person to another place or another sphere of influence. And so in chapter 5, when the Lord took Enoch, he basically raptured him from the earth into the heaven. And then in chapter 6, we saw because the world was so wicked that God had to judge the world and he destroyed the earth by water. And so, listen, there is coming a judgment day again. There is coming a judgment day again. Jesus is coming and there is judgment coming Now, to those who are in Christ and with Christ, there is a rapture that takes place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to go up in the rapture so that we can avoid all the stuff that goes on in the tribulation here. But I believe just like Enoch, if we know that Enoch is a symbol of the rapture of the church, then what is it going to take to get in the rapture? Is every single believer that has just said the name of Jesus going to get into the rapture? Now, I know y'all, Pastor said I'm going to teach on this year. The life of the saints from the rapture on. I am going to do it. But I'll just give you a little hint. Just because you've acknowledged Jesus and have Jesus in your heart probably does not mean that you're necessarily going to go in the rapture. And I can prove that out to you from many scriptures. But this right here would tell us the requirement is that we need to be walking with God. Not having met Jesus and outliving our own life, but walking with God. If we want to make sure we're going in the rapture, that we're going to fulfill this requirement is that we're walking with God and we're walking tightly with God and closely with God. Hallelujah. I certainly want that to be my testimony. Praise the Lord. How about you? Isn't that a good testimony that we would walk with God? And so even though Enoch had a different covenant and a covenant not as good as ours, we can certainly see that in the New Testament, there are some teachings about us walking with God. And so I'm going to go through. There's eight of these. I'm trying to decide how I want to do this, how the Lord wants me to do this today. Because y'all done made me laugh and rejoice and everything. We're thankful for it, Lord. We're thankful for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I think what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to go and I'm going to give you all these eight things the New Testament would show us about walking with God. I'm going to give you all eight of them. I might say a thing or two here or there. And then I'm going to come back and teach on these. I'll come back and go through each one of them in detail sometime either soon on a Sunday or sometime on a Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Is that okay? Are we happy with that? So we can write these down right here. Praise the Lord. And this again is our checkup. Are we walking with God? Number one is that we have to walk by faith. Amen. I mean, that is like, you know, today there are really people that don't want to be faith people. They want to be sovereignty people. We're just leave it all up to God. Que sera, sera, whatever happens, whatever's God will be God, and whatever's not. And that's really not, it's really totally contrary to the New Testament.
That's right.
We are in partnership with God.
Amen.
And there is something on our end that is required to please God,
yes.
to receive from God, to hear from God, and it is faith. And so we need to be just determined. Part of your confession is that I'm a faith person.
Yes.
And I'm going to learn what faith is. I'm going to learn to live by it. I'm going to learn to get it. I'm going to learn to exercise it. I'm going to learn to grow it. I'm going to learn to use it so that I can be pleasing to God. Because if you are not living by faith, not just faith in God and who He is, but faith according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then you're going to miss out and you're not going to really be able to live tightly with the Lord.
That's right.
Faith is how we do it. This side of heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, one time I had I was doing something and I was looking at the story in the Old Testament of Jacob. Remember when Jacob lay down and had the dream? And he had the dream and he saw the ladder and it was a ladder. And if you look at that scripture very closely, I think that's in Genesis 37 maybe. It says that the ladder was set up in the earth and it reached up to heaven. And then what he saw on that ladder was the angels of God ascending and descending. And what that represented was not just angels. It represented spiritual activity. It represented an exchange between heaven and earth. What he saw was an exchange of heaven and earth. How many of you know today, as spiritual people, we are living where we're to be having an exchange between heaven and earth. It's faith is, you know, we connect with God. God connects with us. When we ask for things, God grants things, we receive things. It's this interaction. And so one time as I was reading that and studying that, just I don't remember what was going on. The Lord spoke to me and he said that ladder that Jacob saw was the ladder of faith.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And he said, that's why it was set up in the earth, because faith is a work of the earth, but it originates from God. And so faith is like super important. I mean, faith is like a really big deal. So I always just say, when I find out with God that something is a big deal, I'm just going to get on God's side with it. Right? Hallelujah. So number one, we got to walk by faith. We'll talk more about that later. Number two, we have to walk in the Spirit. This life, everything is about, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, seals us. He's the seal, he's the guarantee of the promise that we have. But then there's also the coming upon us that we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that Jesus commanded in verse 4. So this whole life that we live is by the Spirit, with the Spirit, in the Spirit. We have to know the Spirit of God and the fullness of the Spirit. Not just a sprinkle of the Spirit, not, oh, he's that one I can't see, he's the one I don't understand, he's the one that, oh, I don't know, maybe I'll just kind of read some scriptures about him, but I don't want to be too up close and personal. No, this is the day. Listen, these are the days we got to grab hold of all that is the Holy Spirit. Embrace him fully so that he can live in us, empower us, clothe us with something that is extra. Come on, I'm all in the extra. We're the extra. Come on, we want the extra of God. We don't want the just barely enough, barely getting by. We want the extra of God. And it comes through the Holy Spirit. We got to know the Holy Spirit. Everybody in here today ought to make sure before you walk out of here that you are tongue talking. Heavenly language talking, because Jesus commanded it, because he knew we needed it, because it's part of the New Testament fulfilling the call to walk with God. You can't walk with God without the Holy Spirit fully. You're going to be at a disadvantage. Hallelujah. Number three, you have to walk in the Word. It's all kind of things about the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation for our life. I love that about God, that he didn't just stick us in the earth and then say, hey, do what you want to do and try to figure it out. He gave us a manual. Glory to God. And it's called the Word of God. So we have to know the Word. We have to hear the Word. We have to do the Word. We have to recognize that the Word brings us into truth and that the truth is what sets us free. We have to know that the Word brings us into light, that the Word is a light into my feet, a lamp into my feet, and a light into my path. Hallelujah. And so we're to walk in the Word. We're to walk in truth. We're to walk in the light of what we know. And this distinguishes us. And listen, there's nothing like building your life on the Word of God, because it will never pass away. It will never fail. Glory to God. If we're going to walk tightly with the Lord, we have to walk in God's will. God's will, not our will. So there's all kinds of things that we need to know about this. When I share more about this, I'm going to share more about the permissive will of God versus the perfect will of God. Because if you keep on and keep on with God, keep on and keep on, God will just say, go ahead. But just because God said, go ahead, does not mean it is God's perfect will. And does not mean God will be in it. Right? So this is like a big deal. And there are all kinds of scriptures where Jesus talked about his will, his meat or the way he lived was only to do the will of God. There's many scriptures where it talks about the apostles and the disciples were praying for the people of God that they would stand perfect in the will of God. We know that the Holy Ghost is interested in us being in the will of God, because when we pray in tongues, we pray out the perfect will of God, right? Okay, praise the Lord. Number five. If we're going to walk with God, we have to walk in love. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, love. Well, walk in love. This is the epitome. Really, if you can't walk in love, you won't walk in faith, because your faith works by love. And so love is the command. It's the highest command. And it's not just to love God, it's to love your neighbor. It's not just to love God, it's to love each other. Hallelujah. And so we have to be lovers of God and lovers of men, and we're going to have to do this the Bible way, and we're going to have to get 1 Corinthians 13 in our heart and judge ourselves all the time against this. And to love means not just to love the neighbors and the people that you see in places and don't really deal with. It's to means to love your boss. It's to love your coworkers. It's to love the people in your home, your siblings, your parents. It's to love your pastors. It's to love your team leaders, those working on teams with you. I'm talking about the God kind of love. That this is like a high calling. Praise the Lord. Number six is to walk in the fear of the Lord. Two aspects of the fear of the Lord. One is really the reverence of God. And this is where a life of worship comes in. We're just totally in reverence of God, living our life unto Him. And we see that the early church lived this way. It actually says, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And this was talking about the churches throughout Judea, Galilee. And so entire churches were walking in the fear of the Lord. What would happen on a Sunday morning if we came in and everybody in here was walking in the fear of the Lord? Wow. Wow. So it's to totally reverence God. I've talked about this before. I had a word from the Lord one time. Told me that there were many things that He wanted to give to people that us to step into, but we were too casual in our ways. Coming before God lightly. Another aspect of the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's to love what God loved and hate what God hates. Not people, don't hate the people, but we have to hate sin. We have to hate sickness. We have to hate every evil work. We have to hate it. And we see in the Bible, when people operated in this, they also operated in power. This is how you have power to overcome, is that you walk in the fear of the Lord. The Lord told Pastor Chaz this. He said, if you'll learn to hate sin, sickness, and all the works of evil, then you'll be free from them and you'll have power over them. Hallelujah. Number seven, walk in humility. If you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to walk in humility. And humility, the truest, purest definition of humility is a total dependence on God. That means you have to have no self-sufficiency. Listen, and this is where it can get a little, because we know that in Christ, we can do all things. And we have the Lord in us, the Spirit in us, the empowerment on us. And sometimes we feel so well able, but we have to be reminded and remind ourselves constantly that our sufficiency is of the Lord, from the Lord. So it's only as we're connected to Him, attached to Him, in communion with Him, fellowship with Him, in tune with Him. Yeah, that we're humble. And then we stand with what we need from God to be able to do what we need to do. Hallelujah. John 15, 4-5, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And this is where the whipping out Jesus out of your back pocket when you think you need Him. I'm just going to say it because I feel by the Lord to say it. I always consider that like a slap in the face to God. You're not interested in God. You're not interested to love Him, to worship Him, to come to church, to submit your life to Him unless you have need of something. I mean, you're talking about God Almighty, the one we're supposed to, the one who created all things, the one who made you, the one who gave everything for you. Really, what we have to give God pales in comparison to what God gave us, but we can't do that. What? And that's why we get into pride, thinking anytime you're thinking you can do life without God. And listen, I go to nations. Australia used to be one of them. I didn't get to get out about amongst the people. You know, there's only 5% of the people there are Christians. And when I was there years ago, I would try to talk to people about the Lord out on the streets, and they would just tell me flat out, I don't need God. Why? Because their self-sufficiency is their God. They're intellectual, they're educated. And so really they're in a place of pride. They can't humble themselves and recognize that they do need God. It's a very dangerous place to be. We need to walk in humility. And number 8 is to walk in thanksgiving. Now, I didn't go through the scriptures. I'll do this one out. But there are scriptures actually in the Bible for each one of these that says walk in love, walk in faith, walk in thanksgiving, walk in humility. It's all throughout the Bible. But walk in thanksgiving. Just be a thankful person. We've got the Holy Ghost in us. He is the ultimate optimist. There's no reason that a Christian has to be a pessimist. You should not be seeing the glass half empty. You should always see the glass half full with the potential, not only of it getting full, but of it overflowing. And I don't know about y'all, but I know for me, I'd rather hang out with people that are thankful people. People that see the good, people that have a good attitude. I don't want to hang out with the complainers, the mumblers, the grumblers. I don't want to hang out with them. It's like throwing a damp cloth, and I'm like, oh. Anybody feel that way? Well, I believe God feels the same way. And so if you want to have God hang out with you, if you want to be able to really sense God in the midst of you, you're going to have to be a person of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. In all things, at all times, we can praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to walk with God. Come on, we're going to be known as those that walk with God. Wow, they walk with God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We got to choose to walk with Him. We got to pursue walking with Him closely and tightly. I believe that this is a component of us this year focusing ourselves on enjoyment and learning to enjoy more, live with God better. Because listen, when you're walking with God and God is the biggest thing and the thing that you see most, everything else will pale in comparison. All your problems will look small because they're up against a big God. Do you know how big our God is? Do you know how great our God is? Do you know that nothing is impossible with God? Do you know that there's not anything that God hasn't already done? There's nothing new that He hasn't seen. There's nothing that He steps back and says, wow, I don't know about that. No, He's God. All of our life needs to be put up in comparison to Him. And just let our life be completely swallowed up by God in this great kingdom that we're living in. I'm purposing to walk with God. Hallelujah. Maybe if we walk with God, we can walk on water. Maybe if we walk with God, we can walk into the impossible. Maybe when we walk with God, we can live in the supernatural.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.